Matthew chapter 28. I preach Matthew 28 more than any passage in all the Bible. Never preached the missions conference without preaching. I've preached here before. But I want to share just a few thoughts that the Lord's laid upon my heart to kind of tie something in that I've seen the last several months, even more than before. And it's a great thing. You know, we are a mission-hearted, not a mission-minded church. And you hear the term all the time. The mission of the church is what? Missions. And sometimes we hear that all the time, but you know, it's more than just saying it. It's seeing it happen in our lives. And I want to talk about some things that just kind of apply to this church and our mission heart, and trust that God will refresh us and stir us afresh. We certainly have a wonderful, wonderful pastor who every service opens up this Bible and challenges us from the word of God, and to whom much is given, much shall be required. And we have an obligation, and we need to not compare ourselves with everybody else. Just because we've given millions of dollars to missions, that doesn't necessarily mean we need to stop there. God wants us to give ourselves, and I trust that we'll understand that. And let's, God, light a fire. I think of all these young children here and these young people we have. We're not having a lot of missionaries surrender to the field today, but the world's getting larger and the labors are getting fewer. May God challenge Crossroads to do even more than we've done before. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Our Father, we thank you for meeting with us once again in this missions conference. Over the years, you've met with us in a very special way. You seem to always give us the missionaries that we need for our conference. And past years, you've done that, and this year, there is no different. We thank you so much for that and what you've done and what you're going to do. Thank you for these special servants. And from the bottom of my heart, I believe that missionaries are special servants, not just to the kingdom, but to the local New Testament church. And we thank you for the ones you've sent this year. Thank you for Dr. Sis once again being here with us and challenging us with his life and with his preaching. And I pray you'll bless this conference. Help us to do more than we've ever done before. I pray that you would stir our hearts afresh as a local New Testament church. Lord, challenge us about this thing called missions, that we will do more of giving ourselves away and giving our substance than ever before. Now take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," speaking of himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I make no bones, I believe wholeheartedly in this organism called the church, the local New Testament fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist church. As a matter of fact, it was in the month of March 1976, for the first time, I walked into a fundamental independent Baptist church on an Easter Sunday in 1976, heard the gospel preached, and I didn't get saved that Sunday morning. But because it was a local New Testament church that understood it had a responsibility to reach people, 3 months later, two soul winners showed up at my house about 8:45, took the Bible, opened the Romans Road, showed me what I already knew, that I was lost on my way to hell, but showed me from the gospel that if I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I could be saved for eternity. 30-year-old man that night got saved, professed my faith the next Sunday, got baptized the next Sunday, joined a church, and here's what I did. When the man stood behind the pulpit and preached the word of God, and I understood that, guess what I did? I did what he preached. I found out that I was supposed to start giving. I was supposed to go to prayer meeting. I was supposed to be a soul winner. All of those things I started practicing. All of a sudden, I found that God wanted me to give of myself. By the way, I was never an usher in my church. I was never a deacon in my church. I was never a leader in my church. But I sat in the pews, heard the Bible, and I became a servant of Almighty God. I did that, got involved in everything that I could as a businessman to help my local New Testament church. And then I heard a preaching, heard a message one day from a fellowship meeting where a man was preaching about the need for Black America, the need to start these kind of churches. I wasn't necessarily interested in that, but all of a sudden God reminded me that I had a responsibility to do more for him. That Tuesday, all week long, I prayed. Sunday night, I went forward in the local church, surrendered to preach the word of God. Now keep in mind, I'm a businessman, grew up a dairy farm. I know nothing about preaching, had no desire to preach, but God showed me that night, you have a responsibility now that you're saved, been saved almost 2 years now, to take what you have and invest it, give your life and everything that you have to help reach other people. I surrendered to preach, and there was a burden upon my heart. I didn't understand very much. Keep in mind, I've been saved 2 years, but I understood this. You have a responsibility given by God to take what you have and try to get some churches established that people in the community, people that work with you, people that you knew could have what you had. I think that ought to be the desire of every Christian. If you really think salvation is great, if you really think your local church is great, we ought to have a desire and a burden in our heart to have people that we know work with to have what God's given us. And I surrendered to preach then. That was in July 16th, 1978. I started in the Bible Institute. Started training for the ministry. My desire was to get trained someday, go over to Washington, D.C., and we're going to plant church after church after church with an emphasis to reach Black people, get them saved, baptized like I got baptized, get into a good local church that God can use them to get involved in reaching the world. That was my goal. That's all I knew. I thought about, what about being a staff evangelist? I could go out. Keep in mind, I don't know anything about pastoring, anything at all, but I want to reach people. And then God burdened my heart. If you're going to go around and preach on starting something, maybe you ought to start something. And just a few weeks before I got started, I found out God wanted me to at least start a church and pastor that church. And I got involved. So I'm here in college training for the ministry, training to be a church planter someday. And one day in a missions conference in 1980, a good friend of mine, a man that I didn't know, he was a pastor at that time, Dr. U.G. Robertson, that most of us, many of us know around here, came and did a missions conference in the church. I'm at my third year of Bible college now. And I heard Dr. U.G. Robertson preach, and I was sitting out there one day, and he uttered these words, "World evangelism, world evangelism, world evangelism." Well, I thought I was called and saved and called and trained to evangelize Black America. Where about this thing called world evangelism? And I took my Bible and went back and started reading Matthew chapter 28, and God spoke to me, and nothing outside of getting saved has ever impacted my life more than understanding what God says in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Yes, you got a passion. Yes, you can have a burden. Yes, you can weep and pray about a group of people or a segment of the world. But the Bible says, no matter how strong your passion may be, it's God's plan and God's desire for world evangelization. And here we got. I graduated in May of 1981, and we went down to Washington, D.C. to be able to start, at that time, the Northwest Baptist Temple, which became the Crossroads Baptist Church, where you are today. And I remember in that little banquet room, I couldn't get those words off my heart, world evangelization. As a matter of fact, to make a long story short, we were in a banquet room, didn't have a piano player, didn't have a whole lot of people going at that time, but that very first Sunday morning, those words ring out in my heart, world evangelization, world evangelization. And looked out at that crowd, that small crowd that day and say, look, we're trying to reach Northwest Washington, D.C. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we're going to call ourselves a church, world evangelization, world evangelization. The little church, no building, no piano player, no choir director. Yours truly is the song leader. Decided we're going to get involved in world evangelization. And that Sunday morning, we took on three missionaries, a church planter by the name of Larry Clayton that we still support today. A BIMI missionary that was in Africa. We still support that ministry, though. He's gone home to be with the Lord. And then a missionary to the Philippines. It was 7 years. Keep in mind, this man surrendered to evangelize Black America, to reach people with the gospel. 7 years it took us before we ever found a fundamental Black preacher that we could even support that believed like we believed. But we kept on world evangelization, missionary after missionary. In 1984, we started our first missions conference. And now this is the 34th. So every year, we've been involved in this thing called world evangelization. And people say, why do you spend so much money on a missions conference? Why do you have missionaries come? Why do you have them bring their families? Why do you spend all of this money and raise funds? Why do you do all of that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, tell us why not just this church, but every local New Testament church needs to understand this thing called missions and world evangelization. You see, when Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, I believe that he established, he organized, and he taught this organism called the local New Testament church. 3.5 years, he took common people. He didn't build an organization, he built an organism. And after he died, was buried, and was raised from the dead, he walked 40 days on the earth, and he got this organism together, this local New Testament church, and he gave them something he didn't give an organization. He didn't give a mission board. He didn't give just an individual. He gave to an organism called the church. Dr. Sis talked about how the church has launched away. I was asking him this afternoon, when you go back and look at this Bible and you see what the early church did, what has happened to us today? The Bible hasn't changed. Every church today still has the same responsibility. What Jesus gave that church way back then, we still have that responsibility today. You see, he gave the church a mission that will be its mission till Jesus comes back for his church. And I want us to take a look at it as a church here. We used to teach this every year at Crossroads Baptist Church prior to our missions conference. We talked about that. I want you to look at what Jesus, Almighty God, the one that we sing about, the one that we talk about is grace. Here's the one that I'm talking about. This wasn't given by a man. This is given by Almighty God. Here's something he gave his local church that worked way back then. And if the local church will practice it today, it will still work today. He gave the church, and he gave Crossroads Baptist Church a mission. We call it the mission of the church. I believe the mission of the church is the establishing of local New Testament Baptist churches around the world. I believe that's why we exist. That's why we build buildings. That's why we grow congregations. We have a responsibility that was given to us by Almighty God. And if I love the Lord like I say, God help me to be involved what you gave the church. Now I want you to look at this for just a moment. And I've preached this hundreds of times in all places around this world. And it never gets old to me. It reminds me more and more how little we have accomplished with what God has given. In the last several times I've preached in a missions conference, he spoke to my heart about something that we could do more and need to do more and need to challenge our people to do more. Four things in this passage very quickly here. I want you to see what God gave the church. Now, if you believe that this Crossroads Baptist Church is a church, say amen. All right, so that means what I'm about to say is what he gave Crossroads Baptist Church. We're not preaching at some other church tonight. We're talking about the men, women, boys, and girls saved by the grace of God who's members of the Crossroads Baptist Church. I want you to tune in with your ears and your heart tonight and say, this is what God gave me as a member of this organism called the church. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage, he says in verse number 16, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. The first thing I want you to understand that when he was speaking to his local church, in corporate sense, he was giving them the plan for evangelizing the world. Now, the amazing thing about the plan is simply this. It is authentic. You know what I mean? It isn't going to change. There's nothing wrong with it. It was given by one who knows all, sees all, can do all. So when he spoke to that church way back then, when he speaks to us today, he said, I'm about to give you a plan for evangelizing the world, and mark it down, it is authentic. Needs no improvement. Don't need anybody to write a book on how to do it. It's in the book that's inspired, inerrant, and it'll work. And it worked in the early church, and they reached a known world. He gave us the plan, and the plan is authentic. Now, what's in this plan? What did he give the church? First of all, he gave the church a mandate. Missions is mandated by God. Missions is not an option. There's nothing spiritual about praying to get involved in missions. There's nothing spiritual about praying on whether I should give of myself. This has already been mandated by Almighty God. He came unto them. He's speaking to the local church. Now, you notice the mandate, first of all, it was given by Christ. It was given to the church, and it was given as a command. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me. So the Lord Jesus Christ looked down at that church, and he says, my church, I have the authority to mandate you to do this, and it's a command. So the first thing in this plan is that if you understand missions, I did many, many years ago, what we do is a mandate from God. We have no choice. If we were not involved in missions, we would not be honoring God as a local church. All right, so we have a mandate. Now, in that mandate, he gives his church a ministry. Now, listen to me very carefully. A ministry that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's a member of that local church ought to be involved. Now, let's forget about Honduras. Let's forget about the rest of the world. Let's talk about Northern Virginia. Let's talk about the place you go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night. Here's a ministry that if you love God and right with God and understand the mandate, you must be involved in this. That ministry is fourfold. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. He said in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach. The word here, teach, means to evangelize. every member of Crossroads Baptist Church ought to be trying to evangelize or win somebody to Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say amen. It's not just the pastor, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teacher. Everybody who's been saved by the grace of God has been mandated to be involved in the ministry that Almighty God gave the local church. I'm to evangelize. After we evangelize, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. So we ought to try to get everybody saved by the grace of God to be baptized into the membership, not of the family of God or the kingdom of God. Salvation does that, but the church of God. I get them saved, evangelize, baptize, then with a teach, catechize, or disciple them. Now picture this. If every member of Crossroads Baptist Church try to win a co-worker, a neighbor, a family member to Jesus Christ, get them saved, and then try to get them baptized into the local church, and then start discipling them or teaching them or train them like somebody taught and trained you and trained me, we have evangelized, baptized, catechized, and then the Holy Ghost, like he preached, will mobilize. God could do anything. But he chose the local church as the place where people who are saved by his grace can go out and reach somebody else, get them to be a part of the church, disciple them, that the Holy Ghost of God can mobilize them to go around the world. You know the problem with the local church today? We're not getting enough people in here where the Holy Ghost can work with them. God's still in the business of calling people. He's not calling them through the radio and calling them on television. It's a local New Testament church where the Word of God is open and the Bible is preached and the Holy Spirit reaches down. Every missionary in here will tell you he was called through the ministry of the local New Testament church that was mandated by God, where people were involved in the ministry and the Holy Spirit of God reached down and mobilized them. Go around the world. You know, something that really kind of hit me. If a church is as mission-hearted as we are, and we are, don't you think that God can mobilize some people out here? I came along and wasn't challenged to be a missionary. I really believe way back then, I would have had no problem if God wanted me to go to Africa or any other place when you give yourself away. God uses the local New Testament church. Now, everybody can be involved in the ministry, trying to evangelize, get people baptized, catechize them, that the Holy Spirit can mobilize them in the work of God, and the work needs them. Every place. Someone mentioned 7.5 billion people. They need what we have, and the local church has to produce them. So we have this mandate. That's the mandate that's given by Christ. The ministry is to evangelize, baptize, catechize, that the Holy Spirit may mobilize. But that's not the mission of the church. And here's what I learned in 1980. The mission of the church is to take that same ministry to every person and every place. That's why we have missionaries come. That's why they come as servants of God, to be able to help the local church do what God commissioned and commanded it to do. And every time a missionary comes in and we partner with them, we're not doing them a favor, they're doing us a favor. They're going someplace where God has mandated the church to go. And the church is taking care of the ministry and putting people there, then God, and by the way, God has proven that if he calls people out of the local church, he has no problem putting people in the place of them in the local church, because the local church has to continue producing people. Now let me say this. If you're a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, in any local New Testament church, and you're not involved in the ministry of evangelizing in your community, on your job, trying to get people that you evangelize, baptize in the local church, and then taking a personal interest in discipling people and putting somebody there that the Holy Spirit can mobilize into his work, you'll never be involved in the mission of the church. If you won't do it across the street, you won't do it in Honduras, Ghana, any other place in the world. That's so important that we understand. God knew what he was doing when he said, here's my plan. And all these years, he hasn't changed it. And if he should tarry another 100 years, he's not going to change it. This is the inspired word of God. The question is, am I even evangelizing when I walk out of this door? When the last time I led somebody to Christ that I talked to them about getting baptized and become a member of the local church? When was the last time I saw a new convert in the church and I gave myself away to help train them that God might just mobilize them in his work? That's the plan God gave the church for evangelizing the world. Now, very quickly, notice the second thing he did. He said in verse number 20, now keep in mind he's speaking to the church, that he's mandated, perform this ministry as a mission to every person and every place. And what a great task that is. What a difficult task that is. But God said, I'm God. I know what I'm doing. And he says, if you carry out the plan, along with that authentic plan is an assured promise. And in that promise, he promises the church two things. He said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He says, church, if you're carrying out the plan, that's authentic. Don't worry about how difficult it is. Don't ever try to change it. Don't try to come up with a new one. But if you, as a local church, got your people involved in ministry, and they're getting people baptized, and they're discipling people in the local church, I'll mobilize them around the world. And watch it. Every person that's trying to evangelize, every person that's called to be mobilized to go, he says, along with that authentic plan, there's an assured promise to that church and to those people. And that promise is twofold. He said, first of all, lo, I am with you. Notice saying, you will always have my direct presence. There's no missionary that's ever been mobilized out of a local New Testament church and gone to a mission field any place in the world that did not have his direct presence. So he says, this is not a thing you have to do alone. Not only do we have his direct presence, but he says, church, here's something else I want you to understand. Along with my direct presence, there's a divine providence. He says, go to the end of the world. He's not talking about going to the end of the world. He's talking about going to the end of the age. And we're saying to the church, I don't care how circumstances may change. You take this authentic plan, you will have my assured promise. It's my divine providence. I gave it to the first church. I looked all the way to 2018, and I've given it to Crossroads Baptist Church. Every missionary has his direct presence. Every church. That means no matter what happens, we practice missions under every president we've had in my time. We've done it under Reagan, two Bushes. We've done it under Clinton. We've done it under Obama. We're doing it under Trump. And it hadn't changed. Circumstances have changed. Economy has changed. All kinds of things have changed. But we're still having a mission conference preaching the same thing about doing the same thing, because that's the providence of God. And we have an assured promise. Thirdly, very quickly, it's an authentic plan with an assured promise. But then he said in Acts 1:8 and Luke 24, he says, I not only gave my church the plan to evangelize the world, it's authentic. I've given my church an assured promise, my direct presence, my divine providence. But he told the church in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I tell people all the time, missions is spiritual business. God never expected us to do what he told us to do based on talent, based on our own resources. We have this assured promise. So we have an assured promise to carry out an authentic plan, but he made available his power. His power. He told that church after 40 days, he says, go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power. You know what's missing in the church today? Not money. It's not buildings, not large congregations. It's getting people filled with the Spirit of God to do what God has commanded us to do. If we ever want to see God work the way he wants to work, we've got to have people that understand that God's not interested in just how much talent I have. He'll use my talent. God's interested in how much of me, the Holy Spirit, has a hold of my life. That he's our reliable power. And he says, and by the way, the church has already been immersed in the power of God. And we need to be responsible people. I need to go across the street and do his work. I need to go around another state and do his work. I need to go among the difficult and do his work. I need to go around the world. And all of it has to be done at the same time. Both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth in Acts 1, all of it has to be done at the same time, and it can only be done by taking advantage of his available power. Now, I'm getting to the end, but I want you to listen to what God has challenged me more than ever before. Now, think about an authentic plan. Wouldn't you like to do something and be involved in something where the plan comes from God and you don't have to worry about tinkering with it? You don't have to fool with it? We've got one. It's called the plan to evangelize the world. It's authentic. It came from God. We didn't invent it. Think about with that plan. If I just said have enough faith and enough conviction to take that plan and start doing it, I have an assured promise from the same God. His direct presence, his divine providence, where circumstances won't change. If that's not enough, he's made available his power. He can take a timid fella, he can take a fella going to Honduras to worry about speaking and make him speak. He can use him. So you've got the authentic plan, the assured promise, and the available power. And it's almost like God says, but there's one more thing I need to make it work. Even though the plan is authentic and the power is assured and the promise is assured and the power is available, it can only be advanced by the provisions of the people of God. Yeah. That hits me. Authentic plan. Assured promise, available power, but God says, I can't advance it except by the people of God. He could have used angels, but he didn't. He said, I reached out and saved men, women, boys and girls of all walks of life. They were headed to a hell, and I saved them. I guarantee heaven. And he says, I made myself available, and I want them to love what I love. And I want to use them to take my authentic plan with my assured promise and my available power and realize I need it advanced by the provisions of the people of God. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll close with this. And by the way, if you've been around as long as I have now, I used to consider myself to be a young preacher in the ministry. Never was young in age, but young in experience. You'll find out you see more and more of this. You know the story in Philippians chapter 4, Paul, the greatest missionary, church planting evangelist in the Bible, a great Christian writing to the church of Philippi. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate or share with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a great verse. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We at Crossroads, a number of you, maybe some new don't know, this is a conditional promise to a local church that was giving sacrificially to get the gospel around the world in the church planting ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul said that this church supported him financially. They sent on faithfully, on a regular basis, realizing the need of helping him plant churches. Verse 18, he talked about how pleased God was with their sacrificial missions offering giving of this local church. And then he quoted that verse, because you sacrifice, which satisfied God, and sent on a regular basis, because you got behind God's plan to plant churches in Macedonia, he says, my God will supply to your local church whatever need you may have. I believe it also applies to the man, woman, boy, and girl that's involved in the missions program of his local church to help that local church do what God has mandated it to do. I believe when you give faithfully, sacrificially, by faith, to get the gospel around the world, I don't believe there's a need that you can have that God, who created the universe, would not take care of his church and his people. Now, I've lived long enough to see more miracles than I have liberty to even tell you here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Meeting Don Siss on a platform, giving a testimony many, many years ago, was a miracle God did for Crossroads Baptist Church. Up the street, there's a building. Spanish Church has it now. There was a time we moved out of a banquet room in a hotel, 20 adults and 20 children. Wife walks out of that door, sees a building called the National Industries of the Blind for sale. They were asking $360,000. It had an appraisal done on it for $340,000. I offered them $275,000, and my realtor, who told me I was crazy, it was insulting to do that, so she wouldn't write the offer, so I wrote it myself. Found out the building really wasn't for sale. The group is trying to deceive their headquarters to get them to buy another building. And when the headquarters found out about it, they made them sell it to us. And we bought it for $300,000. And by the way, that realtor got saved, gloriously saved, on Sunday morning in 1984. They bought that little old building up there and had it with 40 people. God granted us, gave us a loan with the bank at that time to be able to buy that building. We raised $80,000 over 90 days with those 20 children and 20 adults to buy that building, renovated it, put a little steeple on it. It's in there for 10 years, baptized 1,700 people in a kind of a man-made baptistry under the choir, paid $300,000. Then another church wanted to do something for the community. They were community, I won't name the name of the church, community in, involvement in the local church. And they said, we want to help you out. So they made a loan, decided to give us $600,000 or something to pay off the building and buy that piece of land and all of that. And then all of a sudden they decided that they didn't want to be involved in the community anymore. And so they left us with a $600,000 debt with no help. And we started a building. We wanted to buy had bought the land, but wanted to start building. So we were stuck. So the miracle was, we just went down and talked with them at a dinner they had one time. And they decided, well, we'll just give you the $600,000. We'll just forget it. And they did. So now we got a building. We had that building, and then, of course, led a lady to the Lord here on this land, 40-year-old house here on this piece of land, that she had five developers' cards on her desk. They were offering her $375,000 for this one-acre lot. I came in on a Saturday morning, led her to the Lord, and we gave us, she was 70 years old at the time, gave her $300,000 for it, and she had to hide from her family because they didn't want her selling the land. And she was married into the family. She sold it to us. We built the largest building on the smallest site in the history of our county when the county, the neighbors, the staff said, you are not going to build this building on this lot. It's too intense for this neighborhood. We'll make a long story short. God said otherwise and built this building. And this coming November, 25 years that we've had here and 25 mission conferences. And then we want to grow. There's a little piece of land across the street there. They wanted $600,000 for it. So in a missions conference, we had 20 men at the breakfast, men's breakfast, like we're going to have Saturday morning. Things happen at men's breakfast. You ought to come, fellas. A lot more than just eating. And this same fella here said, Brother Lou, he said, you ever thought about maybe if we, let's try to see if we could raise a little money and maybe you can make an offer on that piece of land? So I said, sure. He said, I'll give the first $1,000. So we raised $15,000. We offered him $150,000, $15,000 down, and a balloon in 3 years. And we got that piece of land for $150,000. And then we kept it, and the county didn't want us to build on it. And then a few years ago, they decided to build some townhouses over there. So they decided what we'll do, we'll give you $1.8 million in cash for the piece of land and give you one of those townhouses over there that was selling for $750,000 at the time for a dollar. And then we went across the street, and this crazy preacher has this idea. There's a child development center over there. We meeting in the basement. We need our own building. And we managed to buy that piece of land over there and then go to the county again. Now we got a reputation. You've helped us over here to transition this neighborhood by selling us your land. We're going to help you. And we build the largest child care. That's less than a half an acre with that three-story building over there. That approved for 125 2.5 to 5-year-old kids. Another miracle. You know what I kind of figured out by now? If you take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. You can't attribute it to anything else that at least we tried as best as we know how to look at this authentic plan, claimed at assured promise. God, give us that available power and help us as a people to give ourselves away to help it, to have it, cause it to happen. The Lord says, I've given you the authentic plan. My promise is assured. My power is available. But I need you as a people to help me advance the gospel around the world. The mission of the church these almost 37 years has always been missions. And you know what? I believe until Jesus comes back, whether you change pastors or whatever happens, as long as they're people, the church ought to have the mission of the church as missions. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, there's so much more we could do. I believe if we did a better job in the ministry of the plan, every person evangelizing, getting people baptized, catechizing and teaching and training people, you'd mobilize more people to get the gospel around the world. We don't have to doubt the assured promise. You'll always be with us. We need to avail ourselves of this wonderful power. Help us to be cleansed and emptied and filled. That whether we go to the mission field or go across the street to another state, among the difficult, around the world, we'll always have your power working with us. And then I pray during this conference, we've got some wonderful givers in our church. Some people give sacrificially. Other people give by faith, by grace. Help us do more than we've ever done before. But I pray most of all that you'd help every man, woman, boy, or girl to say, I'm going to give myself away. I realize by the grace of God, he's put me in a local church. And I understand that the local church has a mission. And help me to advance that by what I give of myself. Now, if there be one here tonight who's never been saved, this is a mission field for them tonight. You love them so much you gave your only begotten Son to die and shed his blood for their sins. If they're by faith, trust you as their Lord and Savior. You'll not only save them, but you'll incorporate them into your work to help reach someone else. You bless the invitation, speak to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake.